they will need no order.
All right.
We did a roll call.
Cagle. Carter.
Here.
Father.
Here.
Hugh.
Here.
Solar. Sexton. Coward.
Present. Need approval of the agenda?
So moved, Carter.
Second. Hugh.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Need approval of the minutes for the previous meeting of February 7th, 2025.
So moved, Father.
Second, Hugh.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, public participation.
We don't have any public participation, but we do have a gentleman here that you want to tell us who you are and.
Sure. My name is Eli. I'm a student from University of Illinois, and I'm a journalist who's been assigned this transportation in Champaign County as my beat for this class. I'm not writing any stories about this, but I have to do research about this beat as if I were writing stories.
What's your last name? We need to put it in.
Oh, you have to put the last name. Oh, Mixenmacher. You need to know how to spell that?
She would like to know that.
M-I-T-Z-E-N-M-A-C.
How we doing?
E-R.
This is all today. John and Ed are out.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, well, welcome.
Anything else from the public? Okay, we got a presentation from an outside entity.
No.
No? Communication from the board. Seeing none. Going to new business. County of Towson Motor Fuel Tax was claimed for February 2025.
Nothing abnormal there. Some salt and signs and posts. A little bit of rock for Crittenden.
Need a motion.
So moved, Carter.
Second, Sullard.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, we have RPC staff here to do their thing for item B. So Emma's here, so take it away.
Yes.
Plenty of room up here.
Yeah, I was like, I'm trying to think what would be the most strategic.
The table's kind of tilting this way, so that side might be a little high. But.
Thanks, everybody. Hi, guys. Hi, everyone. Yes, we're here to present our annual grant application for C-Carts. I'm Emma Woods. I'm our project compliance and operation monitor, so I make sure that we don't do anything we're not supposed to. So, a background about C-Carts. We were established in February of 2011. We first began operating under Chris Rural Transit, and then in 2014, we transferred to MTD and began running the service as C-Carts. C-Carts is operated by MTD and is overseen by RPC and me and Rita, and it is funded by the FTA and IDOT grants, as well as the Rand Tool Service Agreement. So we provide public rural transit within Champaign County through the week from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. We have a fixed route system through Rand Tool, which is the Eagle Express, the connector, and the Eagle Express includes three fixed routes through the village Rand Tool. And we also have our demand response service, and that requires a two-day reservation time. So. Background. So currently we have one minivan. We're gonna get rid of that hopefully next week. It's called C58. It was supposed to be transferred a few years ago and it's been sitting there, so I'm excited to get that gone. And then we've had 12 medium duty 14 passenger vehicles, and our average vehicle life is 8 years. I've good updates for you guys from last time it was not as fun. And so current projects we have are our 5339B FTA funding that was awarded in fiscal year 20. This is actually a good update, is that we worked with the CVP director. CVP is the Consolidated Vehicle Procurement through the state. It's kind of the most seamless way for us to get vehicles and go through all the hoops to jump through to get them. And so thankfully we got those four buses that we were awarded in 2020 moved to the CVP. So we're not having to wait any further to get, we were waiting on a contract still. And so now we're thankful to hopefully be getting those buses a little sooner than we were. And then we also have the fiscal year 21 rebuild grant. We're still waiting on the buses from that. We had another rebuild in 2022, a low no emissions grant. We have one replacement and one with an electric bus and a vehicle charger. And then this is the most exciting news of the last 5 years. We have three replacement buses that are gonna hopefully be delivered next week, guys. It's really exciting.
5 years later.
Yep. 5 years, five yep. years. Yeah, it's awesome. And so yeah, we're working with the maintenance team to get those picked up next week, hopefully. So yeah, they're gonna be up
in. They will not be operation probably for 3 months.
Yeah.
Because we need to remove the cameras from the old buses to the new buses, install.
And wrap them.
Payment system, wrap the buses, and all that. It probably will take 2 months to go through that process, but.
Yeah, and I actually got confirmation from the CVP director that, do I talk any more about the vehicles? Yeah, a little bit here. I was actually just looking, majority of our vehicles are over 250,000 miles, and that's how it's kind of been for the last 5 years as we've been waiting for these vehicles. We were trying to prioritize which ones we were wanting to switch out in the fleet when we get these new vehicles, but I got confirmation that we're able to keep them on as long as we can. We're not needing, like I thought it was a tap in, tap out kind of thing. So we're really excited that we can at least keep those on hand, because that was one of the major things that we were struggling with, was meeting the demand with the low amount of vehicles we have. So maybe we can have more reach. That's the goal from that. So yeah, we're picking up those three vehicles soon. Me and our finance director, Nate, have been working a lot to try and learn how to become Medicaid certified to provide trips. I'll go into more detail about that later on, but we're hoping to make some budget changes and stuff to make sure that we can try and accomplish that this year. And then recently, we have been looking for a new special services manager. Hopefully, I believe that should be wrapping up to find out what candidate we're, yeah. But that's just another update for you guys that we've been working as much as we can without having that role filled, so.
The special service manager is the person from MTD who oversees C-CARTS operation.
Yeah.
Work on the routes and assigning drivers and all that.
Hands on.
She's gone since January. And then we have been working with MTD to advertise and get a pool of people. They were interviewing this week, and hopefully today they will be making an offer. Let's see what happens with that. But because we don't have that person, then we are doing more work. We try to keep the system operating as well as helping everybody's job. We try to keep it.
Yeah. It was shout out to our team, because we've taken on a lot of responsibility that I don't think we were prepared for. So it's been, we tried our best.
And your pay probably didn't increase either.
No.
That's how it works.
Yeah. And then we work on the budget. So. But yeah. So just some information about our service contracts. We have our one service contract with the Village of Rag Tool. We run a fixed route service with them. Current contract is a 3-year that was established in 2023, right? Yeah, it's 23. I had just started. And so this is confirmed to go through 26 next year. So. And so this is our information about the 5311 grant patient. So some context about 5311, it is our federal rural transit fund, and this is usually what we can really rely on to get. So we were awarded $777,721. Thank you so much. Funds from the 5311, and we were awarded this one-time bonus of $16,000. That is going to be going away next year from what we've been told. So. A little nervous about that, but yes, this application is due the 1st of April.
This is the funding that we use to match the portion allocated to us from the state. Yeah. But the amount that we receive is really small to match the amount of funding coming from the state. And that's why we need to raise local funding to be able to use all the allocation from the state.
Yeah.
But as you can see, it's $77,000 is nothing when you see the number from the state. Can you go to the state?
Yeah. No, and this is actually, the 5311 grant is kind of it's interesting how the different states kind of fund rural transit. So that's been kind of a personal thing I'm interested in.
You see the appropriation for the state is over $1 million.
Yeah. So this is our DOPE grant application. So DOPE stands for the Downstate Operating Assistance Program. This program pays 65% of our eligible operation expenses. And this appropriation changes annually, and it is determined by what we need. So we are able to draw down as much as we have expensed, but we need to be able to match that remaining, is it 35%, to still run the service. So there was kind of, there's hope of that rate being raised from 65 to 80% in the future, but that is something that I haven't gotten any real confirmation on.
You can see, the amount is over $1 million, mm-hmm. and they are providing from the Fed only $177,000, and the match is 65-35.
Yeah.
That's nothing, mm-hmm. basically. Then the amount of funding that we have to raise locally
is a lot.
To match the over $1 million given to us is almost impossible for us to raise. And with all the limitations that we have with the budgets and the drivers and all that, has been painful,
We are hoping with these Medicaid trips that we are able to use that funding for match. So that's really, really awesome. And they've made adjustments from the past way that Medicaid was being paid and billed for the transit systems. Now it was taking 3 months for the transit system to get money from these trips, and they were not covering the operating expenses to run the trip. They were wanting it to be just a typical fare, but it wasn't equaling the amount that it cost to run their service and how much the person was able to provide. So that's something that we're grateful now they've made it so we can negotiate with these brokers so we can actually ask for what it cost us to run the service. So that's going to be a good change, hopefully make this easier for us to get Medicaid.
Medicaid funding that we collect will be able to use as local match.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's a breakdown of just kind of where all the funding is from. We've got the 5311 up top and then the DOPE. We get about 60,000 passenger fares. We get about 185,000 from the Brand 2 contract. We are, is this a reflection of the PTA funds that we're going to be using this
yes,
year?
Yes, we're using that.
Yeah. So this, we, that's kind of the conversation I'll be, yeah, talking about the variances in the budget this year. So we did lose the, I'm not sure if everyone remembers, I believe.
We talked about it here.
Yeah, yeah, okay. We had a service contract with the Illinois Center for Transportation Center in Rantoul. Unfortunately, that contract was ended in December just due to low ridership. It was difficult to meet their needs, but also what kind of ridership we were getting. It was lower than I think they anticipated even. And so that's a loss, and that's kind of the main negative from the special fares. But we have included $10,000 to be coming in from Medicaid services. And that's just like a guesstimate we're putting down to use as, you know, guidance for our budget. And then we had our revenue vehicles repaired. Those increased by 26% this last year. This was because of those vehicle replacements that we were waiting on. We had to do a lot of investment into the maintenance of the vehicles just to keep them on the road. A lot of transit agencies have kind of had to just do what we can.
26% of the budget, because until we get all the buses, we'll be paying for maintenance.
Yeah, yeah. As well as we're anticipating, like, the first year of getting a bus is also more expensive because you're going through like the hiccups of having that new vehicle. This is just what I'm being told. Like, sometimes the first year we'll have like any major mechanical problems, that's when they'll usually happen. So that's another reason why we're kind of trying to anticipate that this year.
And that's the reason for the 900% increase.
Yeah, so, and then the 900% increase is because we had no money in that area. So it looks a big jump, but it's really not too much. So yeah, we're going to be having to move the camera and radios and all the fares equipment to the new vehicles, and so that's what that funding is for. And then we're going to be pulling from our PTA fund. This is our savings account from the county. This is usually something that me and Rita are like, don't touch it, because that's for emergencies only. But we're hoping, we need to get money to be able to get the service started for Medicaid. We need to, you know, train people, learn how to do it. Yeah, train the drivers of how to take on these passengers. And so we're going to be drawing from the PTA fund about 100,000
or less.
Yeah.
The public transit account is money that we have saved over the years.
Mostly COVID.
C-Cards started in 2011, and we have had a contract with Rantoul since 2016. Then over the years, we have been able to save money from the contract with Rantoul, a little bit of money. And my policy has been, don't touch that money, because we want to have that money just in case there was a grant available that we need to some local match to use that funding. Mm-hmm. Or there was an emergency with the vehicles and we needed the money, then we use that money. Then at this time, we are using that money to be able to start up the Medicaid services, because we have to hire more drivers and we have to put in place more vehicles. We have to get those vehicles ready to go. Mm-hmm. We have to pay for another half-time person to do reservations and organize the trips and all that. But I think that after using, we have about $400,000 there, we'll be using $100,000. Then hopefully after using that funding, we'll be able to bring more money to be able to use the whole amount allocated to us. Because if you see the allocation from IDOT to us is 100 million, no, the other one, the previous one. We are spending 1 million in state funding, but
yeah.
The allocation is 100 million, Can you go back?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like this
yes.
one? Okay.
1,125,000. Then we are leaving on the table $100,000 because we don't have money. Wait.
Yeah.
To match. And then the intention is to use that local money to bring more money to match and be able to use the whole amount. Then hopefully the Medicaid trips work. The idea is to get $40 for each trip paid from Medicaid. Right now, we are getting $5 for trips in the rural areas. Then going from 5 to 40 is significant if we are able.
Yeah.
And we know that many of the people that we are transporting right now are Medicaid patients. And we are not taking advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Yeah, I've been hearing from a lot of the like Piatran, Chris, Rural Transit, majority of the transit agencies surrounding Champaign County, they take on these Medicaid patients and they're taking on a lot. They have a lot. They've even sent me like the people they've gotten requests from Champaign County that they're not able to serve, and it's a lot. So that's, I'm hopeful that this is something that would be good for us to add to our service, not only, like, obviously I think it's a really great thing that we're servicing Medicaid patients, like, this is a population that needs it, but it's also thankful now that we are, it's better funded than it was in the past. It was a lot more difficult. Yeah. Yeah, this is our possible service opportunities for this next year, expanding on-demand service to include Medicaid-sponsored trips. We're getting these new vehicles. I'm still excited. This is going to hopefully give us more capacity to provide trips, expansion into additional service contracts, and more potential to hire additional drivers. Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, any questions from you all? That's kind of that's my world. Yeah, Samantha.
So with this new administration, you know, they're attacking Medicaid right now.
Yep.
So, I mean, are you guys expecting that any defaults on any?
We are moving forward because we need to plan ahead. If something happens, then there is nothing that we can do about it. At the same time, we have heard that they will be cutting federal funding for transit, but we need to submit a budget by April 1st. We are moving, being optimistic that we can accomplish what we have there.
Right. And I mean, like, this role began in the Bush administration. So, like, there is some, I don't know, that's just in my heart. I have hope that this is a service that, you know, it's not quite as partisan as it could be. And, you know, I would hope that they have some interest in the rural communities, trying to give back more funding to it. But, you know, this is the cycle that I always have to go through, you know? So it's, you know, I bet we're all just confused and would love some answers.
Right.
Yeah.
And I see the farmers with the tariffs, they're a little skeptical moving forward as well. So you never know.
No,
but
yeah.
We will definitely hope for the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because we have to submit a budget by April 1st, and we can't delay making decisions.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're just going forward.
Yeah. Hopefully we get our contract in the fiscal year begins July. So that's when I would know that if anything major occurred. So,
yeah.
Any other?
What was it, the opioid money? What was that about early on?
Yeah.
We had conversations with the county several times to provide service for clients or patients requiring opioid treatment. And we had several conversations with them. The last conversation was, hey, give us the number of people, the location, what they need, that we can plan ahead. And at the end, when they finally send the number, we're to be there.
Yeah. Hmm. It was interesting because gave us the idea that it was a lot of individuals, and I still think I bet they are handling a lot of individuals, but it was just the need wasn't quite there for to establish a service contract in particular.
Okay.
It was more like we can serve these individuals.
Just what you're doing already.
Yeah. Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Initially they told us was over 20 people.
But yeah.
Was that the task force?
Yes.
Or was that?
We started with the task force, and we ended up talking with court. The judge that managed that service with the county, and that's when we asked, okay, who are the people, what is the kind of service that they need, you know, the information and all that, at the end we received two requests that could be served with the current service.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was, we were really interested in that, and we would have, I mean, if they still have any interest in it and have more people that we can try and serve, that would be awesome. But it was just like a, yeah, we didn't have much need for a service contract in that situation.
Well, yeah, they just put me on the task force, so I'll just try to bring it up next meeting to see if there is, things may have changed in the last year, too, you never know.
Yeah, and now we have new buses. There.
Yeah.
Yeah, new buses might help people.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, we had we do a rider survey. We're hopefully going to be doing it this August, but we did it last spring. And one of the main complaints was just the rides are bumpy. A lot of people are uncomfortable in the buses. So I'm so excited for not to have bumpy buses anymore. So, yeah.
Must be on the township roads, not on the county roads.
Yeah,
more. Sorry.
Nothing.
It's outside. Yeah. Any further questions from you all? Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
So there's four items there that you need motions for. 1 through 4 under B. I don't know if you want to do an omnibus motion for all four. Just call them all good.
Yeah, I move an omnibus motion for items 1, 2, 3, and I guess it's 7B, 1, 2, 3, and 4. The resolution authorizing execution and amendment of Section 5311 grant agreement, the public transportation ordinance, the acceptance of the special warranty, and the resolution authorizing execution and amendment of downstate operating assistance agreement.
Second, Carter.
So before discussion, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right, we'll move on to, thank you.
Thank you.
Move on to item C, which is a resolution authorizing an intergovernmental agreement, participation in the Illinois Public Works Mutual Aid Network, IPW-MAN. We've been a part of IPW-MAN since it started. They've got a few changes in the way they're doing business, where they have moved from being incorporated, now they're IPW-MAN, an intergovernmental agency. So they needed to redo all the agreements with all the entities, which there are roughly 400 entities that are part of IPW-MAN. And what this is, it's a group if there's ever a disaster and people need help, you know, within the state, we can use this agreement in order to send our people to help out or get help if we ever have some kind of disaster here in Champaign County. So I have had the state's attorney's office go through the intergovernmental agreement. They've given it their thumbs up. Also had them go through the resolution, and they did a few changes on the resolution, but the resolution as approved by the state's attorney's office is there for your approval.
Motion to accept.
Second,
Carter.
Excuse me.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right. And D is just the agreement that was attached to the resolution that needs to be signed by the board once the resolution is approved. So we can move on to E, and I try to do this within the first few months of new members coming on the Highway Committee, kind of give a 10,000-foot overview of all the different budgets that we have and all the different funds that we have, because you guys end up passing resolutions that may come from the Motor Fuel Tax Fund or the Highway Fund or maybe the Bridge Fund, or they might come from the Federal Aid Match Fund, and there's so many funds that we operate from that I just want to kind of give you an idea of which funds those are and kind of what services we provide from each fund. So I'm just going to kind of try to do that quickly. We go through obviously a more detailed budget review when we actually do the budgets and during the legislative budget hearings and so forth, but this is just kind of an overview, and if you got any questions, obviously I'd be happy to answer them. But starting out, we've got the County Highway Fund, which is our special revenue fund. You'll see the flow chart there of everybody that works here. We have 22 FTEs in total at the county right now. 20 of them are filled. We've got 3 senior engineer FTEs, but we only have one of those that is currently filled at this time. But all the other positions there on the employee flow chart are full at this time. So our highway fund basically buys our commodities, pays our utilities, turn on the lights and all that kind of thing. We buy equipment from it. It's the majority of the personnel. The only personnel in the highway department that aren't paid out of the highway fund is my position, because my position is paid out of the motor fuel tax fund. We do some transfers from the highway fund to our 062, which is our sinking fund for our building. So we do a transfer from that directly. Like I said in the meeting when we talked about the solar panels, once we paid off the bonds, when we built this building, we decided to take that money that we were putting into the bond payments and put it into a sinking fund in case we have some major work that needs to be done on the building. Thankfully, we got a new roof replaced basically for free because of the hailstorm. So that was one that was kind of taken off of our plate, is actually needing to worry about it for the next few years, because these roofs last 25, 30 years, whatever they last, and then you got to replace them, and that's a big chunk of the money. So we use this fund to front money for projects that the township does from time to time, and then take payments back from them. Railroad projects, upgrades across township roads where we need to fund those and kind of do that up front, or if we do a project through a village, like we went through the village of Royal a few years ago and did a bunch of work that was not part of the county highway, kind of adjacent to the county highway and their parking areas and so forth. They didn't have all the money to fund that up front, so we did an agreement with them to pay it back to us over 5 years. So we use this fund for a lot of different things, but it's basically our operations fund. We're going to use it to bring the DCEO money in for Wilbur Avenue job, and then pay the Wilbur Avenue job. So we use it for those type of things as well. So, but basically it's personnel, commodities, utilities, and equipment. So that's kind of what we use the County Highway Fund. So there's not really a lot of resolutions that come through the County Transportation Committee for the Highway Fund, because it's used for day-to-day operations. The Bridge Fund, which is Fund 2084, is just what the title of it says. We use that to build bridges. The one thing that is unique about the Bridge Fund is that the Bridge Fund was set up in the statutes actually for the counties to help townships build their bridges. So even though it's touted as the County Bridge Fund, the first thing that we use it for is to help counties or help townships build their bridges. And as you know, we do them in different ways. We might use the Township Bridge Program, which is money we get from the state, and usually we can use 80% of that to fund a bridge, and then we'll use 10% from the County Bridge Fund. We'll get 10% from the townships in order to do that. We also do the 50-50 projects where there's a culvert out in the middle of the country that's failed. Township needs to replace it. It's $30,000, $40,000, and we pay for half of that out of the County Bridge Fund. And if we meet all those needs, we have used it and we'll continue to use it on county bridges as well. Right now, I just looked it up yesterday. Right now we have 13 bridges that are in some, you know, design or construction phase that we're pulling from the County Bridge Fund. 9 of those are on township roads. 4 of them are county structures. So we'll use this fund to match until we don't have the money to match. And then maybe we might use the motor fuel tax fund in order to do county bridges if we don't have enough money in the county bridge fund, because we are obligated to use this. And we'll also use it in small municipalities. We're doing a bridge right now up in, we aren't, but the Village of Fisher's doing a bridge, and they applied for a 50-50 cost share on that. The Village of Savoy's got one on First Street that they're probably going to do this summer, so we'll be using it to help them. So it goes to all kinds of different things, whether it be townships, small municipalities, or the county projects as well. So that's the county bridge fund, and that is a very robust fund. It's one of those funds where we do have a $2 million fund balance, but when you look at, you know, our total expenditures for this year is about $2 million, but that kind of ebbs and flows, because we might start a bridge this year, it doesn't finish till next year. We might actually start a bridge and get it finished this year. So that money just kind of flows through this account. We budget for it, and we need to keep a fund balance in case we have some projects that come up that get through the pipeline faster than they typically do. Unfortunately, bridge projects take forever, it seems like, to get from the beginning stage to actually construction and to final them out. Usually it's at least a year before we actually start them, once we've kind of gotten into the design phase, and then oftentimes it's another year or so before we final them out. So that's what the County Bridge Fund is kind of used for, and you'll see a lot of resolutions coming through the Transportation Committee referring to the County Bridge Fund. The County Motor Fuel Tax Fund, that's gas tax. When you go to the pump and pump gas in your vehicle, there's 19 cents from the old gas tax that goes into a formula that gets distributed back to the locals, and obviously IDOT takes a big chunk of that as well. There was another 19 cents added on a few years ago, so now we're up 38 cents, and it's actually been indexed to the rate of inflation. So it goes up a little bit each year. All that money goes into one pot. They got this huge formula where some of it goes to municipalities, some of it goes to townships, some of it goes to counties, and a good chunk of it goes up to Chicago, as you might imagine, because that's where our population center is. But
I thought it was 40 cents. Wasn't that implemented through the City of Champaign?
The City of Champaign has their own motor fuel tax.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, yeah, in Urbana. Because their home rule,
oh, okay.
County cannot do that. There's nothing in the statute that allows for counties to implement a gas tax, okay. But cities can.
Okay.
I think Savoy just recently did one too, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, so we've got three communities around us that have their own separate gas tax.
Okay.
And I believe all of those were indexed to the rate of inflation, as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we generally are hoping this year we'll get about $3.5 million into the county motor fuel tax. There's a township motor fuel tax as well that we administer, but it doesn't go through the county's budgeting process because it's not really our money. But we take care of all that money on behalf of the township. So when they do their oil letting, they do their rock letting, those kind of things, those will come to the county board for approval. Because the statute says that they have to. So anything that a township does with motor fuel tax money, they have to submit all that information to us. Dan Busey, one of the guys in our office, does all that with the townships. Mm-hmm. So the money flows in and out of county accounts, but it's not really the counties to administer as far as doing the budgeting. It's up to the townships to do the budgeting for their own projects. So my salary is actually paid for out of the motor fuel tax fund, and generally the motor fuel tax fund funds all of the maintenance we do on the roads, whether we're putting down shoulders, we're filling potholes, we're putting up signs, anything that we do on the roadways, crack sealing, all those materials. But the majority of that money gets spent on construction projects. Okay. We've got a big project this year where we're going to be doing a Colton Place recycling job from Sydney through Homer over to the East County line with an overlay, and we'll do some upgrades of the shoulders. All of that money is coming out of the County Motor Fuel Tax Fund. If we get a federal grant where it's like 80 or 90% fed, and 10 or 20%. County will use motor fuel tax funds to match that often. We do build bridges from time to time out of the county motor fuel tax fund, but this is just money that can only be spent on the 200 miles of county highways within Champaign County. We can't use it on the townships. The municipalities get their own, so it's money that we spend in order to do our roads. And actually, this capital total down here, when I estimated that back in August of last year, is dreadfully low. I think we're looking at like $7+ million for that job from Sydney to Homer. So we're probably looking at a budget amendment once we get a real hard number on that project for this fund as well. But this is all monitored by the state. They actually have to come in and do audits of all of our money. Obviously, we have an auditor that does that, have an outside auditor, but the state audits this fund as well. And there's a lot of criteria that go into spending the money. A lot of forms, a lot of paperwork, a lot of red tape. So that's the motor fuel tax fund. And then we have a highway federal aid matching fund, which that terminology tells you exactly what it's for. We'll use this if we get a federal grant. Instead of the motor fuel tax fund, we try to build this up because generally if we do a federal aid job, it's a pretty good chunk of money, and we don't just want to have, you know, $200,000 sitting in the matching fund, because that's not really going to help us match anything. That's only going to match a million dollar project or something like that. So we let it build up over time. We got $1 million or so sitting in there right now, so likely the next federal aid job that we get where we need a match that's close to the amount of money that we have in this federal aid matching fund, then we'll use this in lieu of using county highway funds or motor fuel tax funds in order to match those federal aid grants that we get for projects. And then the last one is the IDOT rebuild grant. We've spent all this money. We got roughly $6 million from IDOT over a five-year period that we had to spend all the bond money. Had to be expended by this July, but we got it spent up by the end of 2023. And it was basically the same rules and regulations that we had on the motor fuel tax funds as what this money could be used for. So we could use it for construction, and we did. So there's a pretty good balance in our motor fuel tax fund until we take the $7 million out this year. And a lot of that is attributed to the fact that we got $6 million in rebuild money from the state of Illinois. Have no idea if there's going to be another rebuild opportunity in the next 5 to 10 years. Those kind of come and go. They ebb and flow. You just don't know if there's going to be a bonding bill through the state of Illinois that's going to trickle down to the local agencies. But in that particular case, there was. It actually went to the counties, the townships, municipalities, everybody. And the townships used all their money in order to do their seal coat work and so forth. They didn't really... Most of them didn't use it for big construction projects. So that's the majority of the funds that we operate from. We do have, we got federal money that comes to us from the state for road projects. Right now we're actually in the hole. They'll let us spend ahead 2 or 3 years. We're actually at least a year ahead right now on that money. So we're kind of waiting. You know, we get an allocation every year, so we're waiting for that money to build back up to a positive so we can do some kind of federal job on a roadway project. We have a similar fund, which is a bridge project fund, where they allocate money to us every year. We're in the hole on that as well because we've overspent in the years in the past, which is a good thing. You want to try to get projects done as early as you can and use that money as early as you can before inflation eats it up. So... and then, of course, the Township Bridge Fund, which is the townships to use, but we, administer it on their behalf, where we can build their bridges with that fund and match it with the County Bridge Fund. So there's 7, 8 different funds that we kind of use, and we got to kind of move the money around and make it all work for everybody. So I'll answer any questions that anybody might have about the kind of 10,000-foot view of the... of all of our different funds, but that's just kind of an overview so that you all know what's going on when you come in here and when we pass resolutions and what that money's being used for. So, anybody have any questions about any of that? All right. And then The other thing on the agenda is the bridge report. So it always says in the resolutions that you pass at the Highway Committee and then ultimately at the County Board that we shall report back on the amount of money that was spent on these projects to the County Board and the Transportation Committee as well as to the townships. So we try to put together a report on an annual basis that kind of tells the projects that were completed during that year. And this is the report for 2023-2024. So this means these projects were designed, built, and they're totally closed out. We have projects that are designed and built that we haven't closed out yet because we're waiting for materials to go through or approvals to go through IDOT or through the feds or whatever. But these are the projects that were closed out in 2023-2024. So we've got a County Highway 6 job, which was, we had a lot of corroded steel that we replaced on that bridge. The joints were bad, the deck was bad. We had to replace the guardrail. We used motor fuel tax money, mostly on that project, to do that bridge. County Highway 9, Ryan did the design on that, so that was an in-house design. We had some piling that were corroded up at the top near the piers. We had to go in and do some concrete encasement around those pier piling to stop them from corroding. County Highway 19, we had some bearings on that bridge that were tilted over, and we were worried that they were going to fail and we were going to have like a really bad failure on that bridge. So we went in and jacked the bridge up basically and replaced all those bearings on that project. We did some concrete repair on the piers and on the sides of the deck and on the top of the deck. We used all county bridge money for that project, as you see there. County Highway 32, which is south of Gifford, we did a full bridge replacement on that one. That was a big project, almost $2 million. You'll see we used some rebuild money in construction on that one, as well as MFT money for that. And we used MFT money that we billed to our MFT account for our in-house design of that particular project. And then we got some township bridges here on the second page, Ayers Township. That was a township bridge project where it was 80% township bridge, 10% from the bridge fund, and 10% from the township. The designs, we always build those out when we do a township bridge, typically at a 50-50 split. So if we use a consultant to do the actual bridge design, we'll split that money. We'll take 50% out of the county bridge fund, and we'll build 50% to the townships. We had a scour repair in St. Joe and Urbana townships where we had a huge scour problem, 15, 20 foot deep, which was crazy. We went out there and did a bridge inspection. The next thing we know, the township's calling us a year later saying all the soil underneath the bridge is gone. So they must have had a heck of a flooding event go through that bridge. You see, that was a pretty expensive fix. $121,000 was awarded. We split that 50-50, but since it was on the township line between St. Joe and Urbana, St. Joe and Urbana actually split their 50% share based on the assessed valuations of each of those townships as a percentage of the total of the 50% that they had to pay for that project. And then there was a little bit of an extra tile repair that St. Joe wanted to do while we were out there as well. And then the Urbana Township project, this was the big project on High Cross Road over the saline. That was a unique one when I talked about we kind of take money from different funds when other funds aren't available. This bridge needed to be replaced and there was not enough money in the Township Bridge Fund. So we took all the money from the Township Bridge Fund that was available and then we matched that money with the County Bridge Fund, and then Urbana still paid their 10% like they would typically do in a TBP project where it's 80-10-10. And then of course the consulting was 50-50. We did have to get a temporary easement to do some ditch work out there. That was paid at 50-50. And then we billed Urbana Township for our engineering construction on that project, $22,000. And then the last page is those 50-50 jobs that we do, which are the smaller culverts out in the country that we do with townships, where we split the project at 50-50. Typically, these are pretty low-cost projects, you know, anywhere from, you'll see, $13,000 up to about $50,000 on those projects. And it could be anything from, we got to go in and put riprap underneath the bridge to stop scour, to we need a full replacement of a concrete box culvert underneath the township road. So that is the bridge report for 2023 and 24. I believe we do need some kind of approval of that bridge report to have on file.
I got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I was vaguely remembering the Stark excavating company being, or they were being sued by the city of Urbana. Mm. Explain what happened there, because I know it was on, was it Windsor Road or something?
It was on Windsor Road, yeah.
Right.
It was a paving job, not a bridge job.
Okay.
Stark has never done a paving job for us because we don't typically do concrete pavement, but they put the pavement down and it cracked almost immediately.
Right.
And there was a lot of finger pointing mm-hmm. as to whose fault it was. The city said it was Stark's. Stark said, you were there, we built it as per specifications. You approved it, you had somebody on the ground watching us do it, so how can you blame us? Mm-hmm. And it ultimately went to court. There was some settlement between Stark and the city. I don't remember what the number was.
$2.9 million.
Yeah, it was a pretty big one.
Yeah.
But it was unique because there was federal aid dollars in that job.
Mm-hmm.
And so Urbana got this chunk of money in this settlement from Stark. And then FHWA came and said, well, we paid for a good portion of that job, so we want our chunk back for that as well. I don't know where that's all at. That's up to the city of Urbana, but there was a lot of consternation about how much money they were going to get out of Stark and how much of that money had to be kind of reimbursed back to the FHWA. Mm-hmm. Urbana said, well, we've got continual maintenance now of all these cracks, so we understand that you want your money back, but we need this money to take care of the pavement because it has cracking problems that we're going to have to replace panels. We have to do a lot more maintenance on the roadway than we typically would have to do. I don't know where that stands right now or if that's been settled or what. But
so it looks like Bloomington and Champaign is the same owner, the Stark's location in...
Yeah, their corporate is out of Bloomington, but they do have an office here in Champaign.
Oh, okay.
We're very happy with them as a bridge construction contractor.
Mm-hmm.
They actually built Lincoln Avenue when we helped the city of Urbana do that one. No problems with that. I think Windsor has gremlins under it because they had premature failure of the pavement.
Before.
Excuse me. That's why they had to replace it.
Right.
And then they replace it and it cracks again. So I'm like, there's something going on there. I don't know what it is. I just chalk it up to gremlins underneath the pavement.
Sorry. Right. A little more rain over there too, a little bit.
Yeah. I tried to talk Bill Gray into building that out of asphalt when he did it, and he said, nope, we're building concrete. And I said, okay, it's your call, not mine. But that used to be a county highway. I'm glad it's not anymore.
Okay.
So
I'll move approval of the bridge report. Sure, I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
I don't have any other business.
Okay, no other business. The presiding officer has no report. Things are on the designated consent agenda. Would it be A?
B 1, 2, 3, and 4?
Yeah.
B.
C.
C and D.
Mm-hmm.
A, B, and C.
And C.
And F.
Anything else for the board?
Are you wanting F on the consent agenda or are you just wanting it on file like another
deal? Yeah, it's typically how it is. It's just approved and placed on file. So, is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, no other business for the committee to consider. So I declare us adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.